It is June 24th, 9:30 in the morning. This is the NCSG meeting in Retiro B.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for being here. We'll wait a few more minutes to give people the opportunity to walk from the board with the GAG meeting here. But thank you very much. So we'll start in a few minutes. Thank you. So good morning, everyone. I'm sure there will be more people coming in who are still discussing the GAC and the board session, but I think we'll need to start because we got a very interesting line of speakers that we all want to give sufficient time to share their views and opinions. Let me first give the floor to Rafik after I introduce myself. I'm Niels ten Hoever from Article 19, and I'm facilitating the cross-community working party on ICANN's corporate and social responsibility to respect human rights.
Okay, thank you, Niels. I will be really brief as usual. So welcome to everyone for attending this. Okay, Niels reminding me about an operating thing. Please start the recording of this meeting. Okay, so I welcome everyone for attending this session. I mean, it's the continuity to what we have as kind of dialogue, I think, since London meeting. So now it's almost 1 year. And I do think there is a growing awareness about this issue now in more structured manner, having a working party that's open to all part of the community. It's an ad hoc setting that help us to try to do more, to discuss, to get a common understanding of what we can do, what we want to achieve. And so I welcome everyone to join this dialogue. And we also are getting different input with the report that it's supported by Article 19 that give better explanation of what maybe should be done and also about some cases that we see problematic with regard to ICANN policies and human rights. So having the human rights dimension is quite important. Coming from a group that raises this issue for many years, I'm quite happy that we are getting more traction here and that different part of the community are joining us. And I see also more support with, for example, the last declaration from the Council of Europe. So we will start with the presentation from Niels to explain what was done till now, what the kind of issue that we are trying to cover. So, Niels.
Thank you very much, Rafik. Next slide, please. Olivier, please, come in.
Thank you very much, Niels. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. A thought, should we circulate a sheet among the audience, people present here, just in case people are interested in following up afterwards?
Yes, sure, Olivier, but as usual, we need a volunteer to do so. So can you volunteer for that?
If I had a piece of paper, I would, but I'm on an e-system.
Okay.
I'm sure we can find someone who volunteers a sheet of paper. Is there a volunteer with a sheet of paper? Perfect. And please then indicate if you would like to be signed up to the mailing list or not. That would be very welcome, with your name and email address. Thank you very much. Okay, so this is the agenda, how I'd like to go ahead. Next slide, please. And so this, as Rafik said, this meeting doesn't come out of thin air. Human rights has been discussed for several years at ICANN, but it was converged by the report written by Thomas Schneider and Monica Salnierucci, which was facilitated by the Council of Europe. We had a session and a presentation about that at ICANN 15 in London. We had a session at ICANN 51 in LA, which led to the establishment of the cross-community working party in ICANN 52 in Singapore, where also the GAC Working Group on Human Rights and International Law was created. And there was a report on ICANN's corporate responsibility to respect human rights by Article 19. And here we are at ICANN 53 in Buenos Aires, where we had a meeting with the GAC Working Group. We have our two sessions ourselves and had meetings, luckily, with several constituencies. So we're going ahead, as well as a new issue report to the Cross-Community Working Party by Article 19. Why are we doing this? Well, according to Article 4 of ICANN's Articles of Incorporation, ICANN is bound to operate for the benefit of the internet community as a whole, carrying out its activities in conformity with relevant principles of international law and applicable international conventions. So ICANN's policies and operations have the potential to impact human rights. We now only need to see how ICANN can live up to this obligation. To look at this, we're trying to depart from the UN guiding principles on business and human rights because there are standards for this work. We try to not reinvent the wheel, and we're definitely also not trying to expand ICANN's mission into advocacy or norm setting. Much rather try to use standardized corporate social responsibility standards as well as human rights standards as set out in the UN guiding principle on business and human rights as they were as well practicalized in the UN Global Compact. Next slide, please. We also managed to agree on a charter or terms of reference for the cross-community working party. We're raising a lot of awareness in different parts of the community about this. We're mapping the policies and procedures that can impact human rights, provide information, propose procedures, and develop and explore CSR guidelines that might be relevant. And of course, here we would like to benefit from the business constituency, for instance, that have implemented these, and then propose position papers and statements where appropriate. Mariam, could you go to the next slide, please? Next slide. And here's where I would like to invite Lee Hibbert from the Council of Europe to give a little bit of an introduction on the work that's been done by the Council of Europe recently on this work.
Thank you, Niels. Hello, everybody. So I work for the Council of Europe, which is an intergovernmental organization in Strasbourg, 47 countries. There's a European Court of Human Rights. You may have heard of the Budapest Convention on Cybercrime, Convention 108 on Data Protection. These are instruments which have been legally adopted and actually are used throughout the world by different countries. The main focus is really about, you know, from the Council of Europe perspective, human rights, the rule of law, and democracy. Internet governance is a priority in the sense that it carries, and it's a great catalyst for discussion on these rights and freedoms. And so the Council of Europe is an observer to the GAC, and we work there in relation to this working group now, which is being set up, and here, of course, in the community. So to frame it at the very beginning, you know, we try to look ahead at where are the discussions, what are the issues, ahead of time sometimes as well, you know, to make sure we get the ecosystem, the IG ecosystem we want, the right system we want in terms of shaping the internet together. So we've been involved on the scene since 2010. In 2011, we did a report. In 2012. We did a second report, which is the one that Niels referred to with Thomas Schneider and Monica Zagnoruti in 2014. And what we find now is that on the 3rd of June this year, the member states, the governments of the 47 countries sat in Strasbourg and they agreed upon a very simple text, which is this declaration here. And there are copies here if you wish. And that declaration, I think, is the culmination of the last few years of work about discussion, examination of, you know, what's the role of ICANN, what are the responsibilities, are there human rights considerations there, you know, is ICANN only about economic interests or there are non-economic interests to consider, you know, what about the role of, what about freedom of expression, the freedom of assembly and association, what about communities, vulnerable groups, marginalized groups, do they have these other issues there we need to think about? So in terms of looking at the governance of the internet, that's where the Council of Europe comes from. And this declaration, in a nutshell, is politically binding. So it's really a concerted statement by states who are saying we think there are issues of human rights in this and rule of law issues in ICANN we need to think about. And we need to go further, we need to explore that there are responsibilities there for actors, not just state actors. And I think that's the point of this working party. So it gives a government perspective, but which is opening up to other actors. So it recognises that the work of governments is also work involving non-state actors. It builds on the Net Mundial process, and it of course underlines the importance of ICANN serving the public interest. It builds upon the instruments I've mentioned to you, the conventions which are about human rights, but on the internet as well. He talks about rights and freedoms, about the fact that ultimately, you know, internet users' rights and freedoms, you know, prevail over the technical mandate of ICANN in many respects. You know, internet is people-centered. We must keep it, you know, people-centered in the approach, how it's, what responsibilities are there, and what should we not lose sight of? Is it only about economic interests, or are we talking about people's interests? So the work on CSR, corporate social responsibility, is important. And as Niels has mentioned, there is a, at the UN level, at the global level, there is a, now a framing of you know, what is business and human rights. And now we find ourselves here in ICANN talking about perhaps the role of ICANN as an economic actor in the field of business and human rights. And there we go. So I'll just finish by saying that, you know, the role of governments, I come from a governmental perspective, the role of governments is to protect, is to do things and not to do things. They have obligations to protect and not to interfere sometimes with regard to rights and freedoms. They can be compelled to do positive things, take positive measures to protect groups who may feel vulnerable or marginalized, the importance of making sure that people have freedom of expression, etc. So, and they do this. This work is being done, if you like, ahead of any court cases which come through in national jurisdictions. You know, have governments done their best job, their best efforts to ensure that they are thinking about the freedom of expression and association components of internet governance, of ICANN's work, etc. So this is work ahead of time in some respects. And so the role of ICANN in this text is to say, hey, you know, there is a role for ICANN here. And, you know, we need to work together. We'll talk about due diligence. We'll talk about explicit policy statements, transparency, accountability, but putting people at the center. So to conclude, as far as the Council of Europe goes, this is a contribution for you. It also means that I have to do my work to explore ways that we can assist the communities, also the governments and the GAC, and also ICANN itself, to make sure it does its job properly and that, you know, we act in a sense with responsibility and that we respect people's rights and freedoms, their ability to be respected in the core of the internet governance ecosystem. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this update, Lee. Mariam, could I have the previous slide? Right now, we plan to have an update from the GAC Human Rights and International Law Working Group, but it seems like the co-chairs of these working group are still in the discussion with the board. So since Lee, you have been liaising with the GAC working group, could you give us a short update of where we are there?
Okay, thank you, Niels. So there was a meeting, a first meeting of this working group on human rights and international law. For your information, there are 28 members of the GAC and observers which are a part of this group. Actually, there were a lot more people than 28 in that room. It was a full room. People were sitting on the floor. I think that demonstrates the interest in this issue way beyond the GAC working group members. There was a discussion really primarily about the scope of the draft terms of reference of this working group. That needs to be, so that's still being discussed. So we haven't got, there are no, let's say, agreed terms of reference yet, but it's on its way. So work is unfolding. We need to have discussions, perhaps a conference call ahead of Dublin to see exactly what the scope is. I think it's quite clear that the question of human rights in this working group is clear, that there is a focus on human rights, and we'll see exactly what the international law component means in that context. So to summarise, Niels, the work is underway. There is an agreement to work on these issues. There's great interest. There's a need to share information now to make proposals, not just about the scope, but about the content. That's now starting, and by the time we get to Dublin, there should be something much more concrete on paper about where we're going. I would finish by saying that I think it's quite clear that the co-chairs of this group, UK and Peru, are mindful of the importance to have complementarity synergy with the cross-community working party. There needs to be some sort of working together, perhaps, in some ways, and that you inform each other of your respective work, and that this is done in a meaningful way. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lee. I already have a question for you from the session from Amr El Sadr, who is asking, could you please clarify what international law is referring to in the title of the working group, Human Rights and International Law?
Well, that's a good question. That's a question which is open, which is being discussed now between the members of the GAC working group. I cannot give you an exhaustive answer, but I mean, in my opinion, we're talking about international human rights law, the UDHR, the ICCPR. We're also talking, I think, but again, this has to be discussed and agreed on those regional treaties which matter, which are about human rights, like the European Convention on Human Rights, but not only. There are also international law instruments which are not necessarily about human rights, you know, per se, but have human rights components. I'm thinking of the Budapest Convention on Cybercrime, which is about, you know, criminalization of cybercrime and working together to fight that online. And in that convention, there are articles referring to human rights safeguards. So once again, you know, what's included needs to be is an open question. That's part of the job of the working group. I think we need to do a mapping of the possible international law instruments which are out there, which are relevant, and we need to agree upon on that scope. So we can talk more about that as we go on.
Thank you very much for this answer, Lee. Right now, I'll go ahead with a short presentation of the issue report that Article 19 submitted to the Cross-Community Working Party. It is not a product of the Cross-Community Working Party. In this afternoon session at 5 o'clock, we'll talk about the process, whether and if and how this could be perhaps adopted or reworked by the Cross-Community Working Party. But just to give you a quick overview of what has been discussed. Next slide, please, Mariam. The report maps standards of corporate social responsibility initiatives, as mentioned before, the UN Guiding Principles for Business and Human Rights, but also the UN Global Compact, which has over 12,000 participants from over 145 countries worldwide. But there are also other examples from the sector that for self-regulation, for instance, the Global Network Initiative, the international rights and the principles that came to being through within the framework of the Internet Governance Forum. But there are also the Silicon Valley standards. And there's also the initiative of ranking digital rights. So there is the sector has thought about this quite a lot. So now we need to see how this could fit for ICANN. Next slide, please. To do this, to implement these UN guiding principles and finding the right method, we'll need to see whether this can be done through a human rights policy commitment and discuss how such a thing could be developed, communicated, aligned, and applied internally. Next slide, please. And then, of course, we also need to see how we deal with due diligence. Like, how do we measure if ICANN is compliant, and how human rights impact assessments of the work can take shape and form, and how remediation of that can be done, and how that can be done via the ombudsman or via other procedures resolving human rights policy inconsistency claims. So I'll just give you a very short overview of the report. We have all the time to read the report and when we're offline, so I would really like to benefit from the time that we have together and all the brains that we have in the room. And therefore, I'd like to first ask Patrick Fahlström of ASSAC to give us some ideas or reflections on the report and discuss how and where human rights policies and assessments could be best situated and implemented.
Oh, that was a hard question. If I knew, then we would not need this working group, right?
Well, everyone would need to agree with you, though.
Yes, and on top of that, everyone must agree. So, Patrick Fahlström, chair of ASSAC. One of the reasons we are involved in this work is that it's not only my personal interest in the mapping between states' responsibilities related to human rights and companies and private enterprises and organizations, CSR, and make sure that those map to each other. But it's also the case that we in ASSAC, we sort of have the similar kind of issues as has been laid out in the report regarding convincing organizations that are living in a strict market economy to make investments that are related to to goals that might not get an immediate capital or on monetary gain. That is a very similar issue, and in some cases, and in many cases, also related to the policy issues here. And we see from an ESSAC perspective that many of the policies and security issues that we are arguing in favor of, for example, regarding privacy issues, WHIS-related issues, and other things that, for example, all the work that Michaela has been doing related to privacy issues and WHIS regarding disclosure of private people's the private information, those are the same kind of things that we are arguing in favor of from an ESSAC perspective for pure security reasons. We are, for example, currently doing an investigation together with the registrars, but it's an ESSAC report regarding credential management, which has to do with the ability of securing information related to individual parties regarding domain name registrations. So there are a lot of common interest here regarding many of the aspects laid out in this report and the same kind of problems to get those implemented. And that's one of the reasons why we're here. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that contribution, Patrick. I would like to ask the same question to Avery Doria.
Thanks, Avery Doria speaking. So in terms of looking at what we should be doing, it's actually quite good that we're actually getting finally to talking about it. It's been years now, and usually, I guess, the first thing that we get is we get silly questions. And when people start talking about human rights, we say, well, what do you want to do, fight hunger? And so the first thing that we really need to do is for groups larger than those in this room need to stop being silly about the topic and start recognizing the obligations that ICANN has as a public service corporation to adhere to human rights. And it's also good that we've started to get into the discussion of some of the human rights, like privacy, like expression, like association, due process. But we need to think beyond that. We need to think beyond that to the economic, cultural, and social rights. The names that we are, I can't quite say regulating, but the names that we are not regulating are indeed the vehicles by which so much can improve globally in developing economies and such. So the focus that we put on those needs to be more rights-oriented. We need to take those rights into account when we think about these things and not just put them in terms of economic sense. One of the recommendations that you've got in there in terms of getting involved in like the Global Network Initiative, the GNI, which would help ICANN think about these issues and give it some idea of how to think about, how to orient, is something that has been suggested for at least 3 years now, if not longer, and yet I have the impression that it really has never been taken into serious account. So things like that. So it is good that we are starting to talk about it. It is good that we are starting to put together some efforts. For years now, we've been talking about the fact that to make policy on names or numbers without any measure of the impact of the social impact on these, without any analysis, is a great mistake. And what we do later is say, oh, there was some social impact. Well, why didn't anybody tell us? It's our responsibility to know it. It's our responsibility to always do these impact, human rights or corporate responsibility impact analyses on our behaviors. How do our rules? How do our processes affect the cultural life of communities, of developing economies? How do we deal with that? It's something that we haven't taken seriously yet. We need the ability to give advice on those matters. So there's really a lot of work that we need to do. And I think that beyond the wide scale of these are the principles and we need to understand those, what we really need to start getting into is some specific activities, some specific changes, some specific memberships, getting help from GNI to help us understand. So I guess those are the things I think we could start with.
Very useful suggestions from you as well, Avery. Thanks a lot. And now I'd like to go to the other side of the room to see what Olivier Crepin-Leblanc from ALAC could add to this conversation. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Neil. It's Olivier Crepin-Leblanc speaking. I'm vice chair of the ALAC. Unfortunately, our chair is busy with other things, having to draft all sorts of stuff and deeply involved in ICANN accountability and these discussions. Initially, of course, I also, I think it was a discussion with Lee Hibbard when he suggested the human rights agenda and the human rights aspects of ICANN's operations, I was a little, reserved and wondered really how the whole thing worked together. However, when discussing this in more detail, and after having been in Geneva on several occasions for other fora that are not ICANN-related fora, it has become pretty clear that today the human rights agenda is rating very high in countries and in international diplomacy and in things that are related to the Internet, in discussions that are related to the Internet. The Internet is such a vector for change at so many levels that it affects absolutely everyone. We saw a very long discussion that took place at WIKIT in 2012 about the human rights, having a clause on human rights in the actual final statement. We since saw a lot more discussions following on from there. And one of the things that was told to me a couple of weeks ago in Geneva was that if countries were dealing with this issue of human rights and we're ready to embrace human rights in the work that they do, work that, I remind you all, is related to the overall internet governance ecosystem, it would be very strange for an organization like ICANN, which is an inherent part of the internet's infrastructure, but yet is not a government and is a private sector, not-for-profit corporation, to behave like a private sector, not-for-profit corporation that doesn't deal with those worldwide issues. In other words, I think I've confused a few people here. In other words, if ICANN wants to be able to do the job that it has to do, which is the coordination of the domain name system and all of all of the functions that are given in the ICANN bylaws, then it should also be able to embrace the human rights agenda in the same way as governments and other stakeholders that are involved in internet governance are working towards embracing. It's a case of thinking, well, you're not a private corporation, you are an organization that has these responsibilities with regards to the rest of the world. At the moment, what's in the bylaws, I think, is a good start, but doesn't come quite close to the vector, the whole changed environment that we've had. We have to remember these bylaws were written quite a while ago, and the world has changed, and the internet has evolved and is touching more people. And so there's a larger part of ICANN's work that involves, that basically reaches further and has further consequences than perhaps what was thought of at the beginning. I agree with what was said by colleagues earlier, so I'm not going to repeat what they said, and I'll keep my intervention short. Thank you.
I don't want to put you on the spot. I'd like to. So your train of thought is very clear, very much in line with what has been said. Could you perhaps give us some snippets of idea on how this could be done? Should we start with the bylaws, or with, or where should we start, and how should we continue that work?
Yeah, thank you. I think starting the bylaws is probably the wrong way to go about it. This is a bottom-up organization. This is something that you don't start with the bylaws and then get everyone to agree. afterwards. In our previous meetings, I suggested having a working party rather than the cross-community working group, because I think we would have probably still been at the position of discussing the charter of the working group today, so many months later. And I think the way that things have to go is to first circulate things among the ICANN communities and get the ICANN communities to adhere to this, and then think, I think perhaps as an end game, a change in the bylaws in some certain way so that we do have this. But it has to be carefully crafted so as to not start changing the actual mission of ICANN and the actual work that ICANN does. ICANN is not a human rights organization. It's not there to, and I'm going to unfortunately say this, but it is not there to change the world in a certain way. It has a very technical mandate with some policy implications in there. Yes, it's an excellent experiment as far as the multi-stakeholder model is concerned. But to try and go further than what it should do is, I think, something that we'll see a lot of pushback in many different parts of ICANN. As far as the ELAC is concerned, unfortunately, we haven't had much time to discuss this issue yet. But I would see a bylaw change or one line added to the bylaw, and perhaps more than one line, but I think one line is the minimum to have, could be the end game for the whole process that we have here. That's just a suggestion. I'm not, but this is, I think, a natural progression. But that would not happen if the supporting organizations and advisory committees of ICANN are completely against this. We need to find consensus, and we need to get people to understand what this is about before even trying to push things. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that very concrete suggestion. So I'd like to move over to Greg Shaton, also to ask him this question, and also try to, at the end, as Olivier did, see if you can give us some suggestions how we could move this forward and where it should go.
Sure. Thank you, Niels. Greg Shaton from the Intellectual Property Constituency. I actually felt myself quite sympathetic to a lot of what Olivier had to say. Thinking about this, actually go back to the discussion that a lot of us had about the use of the auction proceeds, because in that discussion we had, I think, issues because we were discussing both process and substance simultaneously, and the conversation kind of went back and forth between the two without really coming to a satisfactory result on either point. So I think here as well we have to have discussions on process and discussions on substance, but if you start discussing substance prematurely, you kind of denigrate the process, in a sense, because it's the process that's supposed to give you the result of substance. So what we need to do is kind of think about how this latches into ICANN's processes, and this is a very process-oriented organization. There's some people that seem to do nothing but talk about process, and in the end, that's terrible. But you do, at the same time, need to respect that process is how we get to results, maybe it's almost liberating to have some sort of process, just like it's liberating to have actual chord changes when you're playing jazz and not just play free jazz. It's liberating, but it's also a little bit more technically difficult, in a sense. Not to put down purveyors of free jazz.
I was about to say.
I had my free jazz period.
Ornette Holden just died. Yes.
But Ornette had immense structure. The harmelotic structure is actually extremely complex.
Okay.
Anyway, from one passion back to another. So I think that the process we need to do here, and I agree with Olivier that starting with an informal process here, it's the CCWP. When we're getting to the new GTLD second round, an informal discussion group was started so that in dealing with complex issues, you need to spend some time framing them rather than try to launch right into the formal process without having thought about what it is that you're doing. But I think that what needs to happen, and I think better sooner than later, is to put this back under the formal rubric and process of ICANN and get it into the policy development process and engage in a truly multi-stakeholder process, because ultimately every stakeholder group and constituency and advisory committee will need to be involved, will need to be in the discussion, and the earlier they're in the discussion, the less they feel like somebody's delivered them a partially baked, but hopefully not half-baked, idea, the less involved they feel. So that's one of the parts of the process here, is that everybody likes to be here at the beginning. So in a sense, this is, to some extent, while this is 2 or 3 years' worth of work has gotten us to this point, it's also the beginning, because it should be the beginning of the formal ICANN process. And the longer you wait to start that ICANN process, the later the result will come. So I would encourage this group to kind of metamorphose to the next phase by going kind of completely inside the lines, having kind of done a lot of the groundwork. In terms of result, and I said I wouldn't mix process and result, but I've done process and now I'll do result. I think, you know, clearly from the point of view of the IPC, we're just beginning to really recognize this issue. I know that if you look at the the Global Network Initiative, you'll see the names of some IPC members and some BC members, but one of the issues is, of course, that the people who are participating over there aren't the people who are participating here. So trying to figure out corporate social responsibility best practices requires kind of internal review, because none of my members who are actually sitting in here in Buenos Aires with rare exceptions could tell you deeply how their organization thinks about corporate social responsibility. You know, obviously they should know it at the kind of end result level, but they're not, the ones who have crafted those policies and given it all the thought that needs to. So, we need to kind of bring those people in. We may not bring those people into the table, but we need to kind of bring that thinking into the table so that we can engage. The business sector operates in a lot of different ways, and for those of us who are here, not necessarily intimately involved in how our colleagues on the other side who are dealing with these issues elsewhere. So for us, we're kind of at this point looking and learning and listening and eager to participate. I think also from kind of the point of view of my constituency, and not that I'm speaking for the constituency, but for myself, but from that perspective, representing creators, disseminators, consumers of intellectual property, creative works, a free expression, free society, free economies, all of those are good things. Banned books and censorship are not good things, although then we're getting to content, which of course is outside of ICANN's technical mandate, so that's always have to watch the mission creep here, but at the same time, this is, in many ways, corporate social responsibility, public interest, human rights are very consistent with intellectual property rights and intellectual property interests. On the other hand, there are times where there are at least perceived frictions, and as we get deeper into this, we're going to have to, at some point we'll get to those points of perceived friction and figure out what we are doing here. It's way too early to say how we do that, but it is one of those things down the road. And as far as bylaws go, I think that is regrettably probably several years down the road. I've spent a lot of my copious free time in the CCWG on accountability, and we talk a lot there about how important stable bylaws are, and that bylaws shouldn't be too easy to change, and that they go to the core mission of the organization. So it's clear that when we get to bylaws changes, that it has to be the result of both a bottom-up multi-stakeholder process and a process that happens within the ICANN corporation. And that's a complex system. But changing the bylaws comes after you know what changes you want to make. And that's what we have to figure out first, is what are we trying to reflect in this internal ICANN culture? And what are we trying to reflect as ICANN is a governance mechanism and self-regulatory mechanism as well as a corporation. And there's, you know, all different levels of corporate social responsibility. You know, I don't know whether ICANN uses recycled paper towel and toilet paper. That's, I mean, there is even a physical or corporation issue of corporate social responsibility. And that's not, you know, if ICANN has an internal cult, responsibility that's more socially responsible, that I think goes out and helps to kind of soften the overall, you know, view of these things. It's all of a piece, but obviously when we get to the technical mandate of ICANN, we're not worrying about toilet paper. You know, we're worrying about how does ICANN make policy, and first I think we have to get into the policy process, and then we'll have, you know, a lot of time to really engage on result. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg, and I'd like to reiterate that we'll reach out as a CCWP to the CSG to learn from how businesses have implemented their CSR policies and see how that can work. So we'll definitely do that. Right now, I would like to go ahead to Michele Nelon and hear what his views are on the matter.
Thanks, Niels. Michele Nelon for the record. I'm not sure exactly which capacity I'm sitting here in, but I'll choose. Well, I am a member of the Registrar SG. I happen to be the chair of the Registrar SG, and I'm probably not really speaking as chair, but more as a European-based registrar who has spent a disordinate amount of time trying to get ICANN to respect our ability to operate within Irish and European law. I mean, just a few things. I think so. You know, this group and the discussions here have been evolving nicely. And I think it's something that over time, as you're able to bring in people with expertise and background and who are able to talk to groups who probably don't really engage with ICANN on an ongoing basis, that can help to move things forward. However, you need to be careful about how you handle terminology. So, I mean, for example, Avery may wish to get every single person in ICANN to understand the concept of human rights, but it's not helpful to start giving out about how people don't understand human rights. I mean, the issue here is that if you want to talk about, let's say, respecting privacy, then say we're talking about privacy. If you want to talk about freedom of speech, then say you're talking about freedom of speech. Because, I mean, this is for a lot of us, we're businesses. There's others who are, you know, very technical people. We don't spend our time in the space that a lot of you do. So you need to help bridge that gap. I mean, I can understand the frustration, but it's not going to move things forward if you focus on things that we don't really understand. So when it comes to the human rights work that has been kind of evolving over the last, I suppose, about 12 months or so within this group and elsewhere, you know, there is I've said repeatedly that you need to choose specific subjects, specific topics, specific areas where there is either ongoing work or there can be work. So, for example, around privacy, the conflicts between ICANN's contracts and the law. There's a number of work tracks going on there. I mean, Stephanie, for example, is involved in several of them. I see other people in the room who've been trying to get involved at some level or other. You know, this, you know, focusing on specific issues. I mean, looking at some of the other issues, they're much, much broader, and I think making progress there, it's going to be something that's going to happen over time.
If you don't mind, Greg, could you please keep it? Because we still have like 10 minutes left, and there are still some other voices that I would really like to hear, and also give the people to the opportunity in the remote participation and in the room to also have their voices heard. So thank you very much for this very concrete and valuable contribution, Michele. And I'd like to hear from Bill Drake.
Good morning, everyone. I'm the chair of the non-commercial users constituency, and NCUC since 1999 has been pushing in ICANN, above all for freedom of expression and privacy as sort of guiding issues. But it's only really in the past couple of years that we've started to put those civil liberties questions into the broader framework of human rights and locating them in the context of UN and other intergovernmental organizations recognized human rights. So for us, this has been an interesting journey and a useful one because it contextualizes and creates a broader framing that I think provides avenues for bringing a lot of people in towards our sorts of issues. And I've seen a lot of evolution in the past couple of years. We had in London a couple of years ago, Lee and Thomas Schneider came and presented their paper to us on Constituency Day, and we had a very good conversation. And since then, we've had all this kind of like, you know, trajectory of work going on, and now we've got a room full of diverse people. So I'm quite happy with that. At the same time, I feel like, I sort of feel like we keep having the same conversation. So I am hoping that we can push further. I think that the report that's been provided is really useful and advances the ball in some important respects in making the connections between general human rights concerns and the CSR kind of questions. As I expressed on our on the list for people who were involved in this discussion, feel a little queasy about putting it into a corporate CSR framing in a way because, to me, ICANN is a global governance institution. It's not a company that sells stuff. And I think that, you know, you may give up something when you sort of like say, well, put them into the GNI and where you're alongside Google, et cetera, because the activity is qualitatively different. But nevertheless, I think maybe it's probably a useful way to go about things. I do worry that we are still sort of putting the cart before the horse a little bit when we start out by saying, well, you know, bylaws changes, things like that, because I just think that so much of the community is not there yet. And so what I've been saying for a long time, and I think I've made the same point in three or four successive meetings now, but I'll do it again anyway, is that I think that we have to start to do exactly what Michaela was suggesting, which is like bridging the gaps by offering specific cases. And what I would like to see is a chart or an overview document that actually takes a whole series of ICANN policy outputs and says, this is relevant to this internationally recognized human right, you know, and then maps that out. Because I think for many people who live in the domain name industry, they're just not in that life world. They're just not seeing those connections at all. So when we have the conversation at a high level of generality, they kind of like look at us a little puzzled and say, well, where are you trying to go? So I think, you know, this is not...
This is hilarious. You're channeling me. Exactly. This is wonderful, Bill.
I channel you all the time.
This is wonderful.
Even when you spill water on my computer, I channel you. It's
because for the record, I handed him a bottle. He opened it. I did not.
Shook it up. Fizzy water. Anyway, be that as it may. No, I mean, seriously, you know, for some of the issues, the kinds of issues we talked about for some time, freedom of expression and privacy, I think it could draw clear connections and we can say, okay, fine, who is policy, privacy, and you can itemize those. It gets harder, and I've said this before too, when we turn from the economic, from the social and political rights to the economic, social, cultural rights. As Avery said, these are, in international law, indivisible rights. I mean, you talk to anybody who works international human rights law, they say this is all indivisible stuff. You can't pick and choose, cherry pick, say which parts you accept and which parts you don't, although in reality that is what has happened politically at the international level. We've always had a tendency where a lot of industrialized countries tended in particular, especially North America, I think, have tended to say that the civil and political rights are the ones that we can really relate to, and the economic and social are a bit of a stretch for us to understand exactly what they mean and how to implement them, et cetera. So taking the corpus of ICANN policies and trying to lay those out and make those connections and see what's there, I think is a necessary step to be able to get people into the tent. Otherwise, we have them standing around on the outside kind of going, well, what are you guys trying to really get at, you know? And that's we have to get beyond that space. Now, I know that the report calls for, it says, in order to comply with due diligence, ICANN should produce an externally audited annual report on human rights issues and their implications. And I think, okay, that would be a way of going about things, but there's an antecedent step, and it's a step that I think the community could do. I mean, I think the community, the people who are interested, could try to do at least a brief inventory of 10, 15 main policy outputs that are central to ICANN's operations and make connections to, at least establish that this is of relevance to the right to participation, or this is right, this is relevant to the right of assembly, this is relevant to the right of speech, etc., so that people could begin to like say, well, okay, how do we think about the balance and trade-offs here? And make no mistake about it, you know, what Greg very nicely says, points of perceived friction. It's going to be more than perceived friction. It's going to be... I was being polite this year. You were being polite, and that's fine, but we're going to, you know, at some point, it's going to get down to where we say, okay, ICANN has this policy, which some of us think really is inconsistent with the right to privacy, and they're going to be actors who say, but we like that policy, we think that policy is important, we think that policy serves law enforcement and trademark and other protections, and we don't think that we want to trade that off. And so then you're going to have that conversation about how do you find that balance, how do you find that mix. And so we're going to get there, and there are going to be people who may say, you know what, because I anticipate that's where this goes, I'd rather not start the conversation. So that's why you have to start the conversation, I think, in a way that's kind of non-threatening, that is neutral, that is simply not starting out by making assertions saying ICANN's policy violates this, but simply say, this policy is of relevance to this right, and then we can debate later exactly what that relevance is and how those things might be balanced. So I think there's a lot more work to be done. I think we're on a good course, but we have to get it from the general premise of saying, hey, ICANN, let's bring the outer world into the space and say, okay, and here concretely is really what it means. And we're going to find for a lot of parts of ICANN's work that human rights issues really are not necessarily so germane, and then that's fine, right? I mean, you know, it may well be that it turns out that a lot of the more technical aspects of, you know, the way in which IANA functions are done or something like that, you know, it's not so direct to human rights, and so that's fine, good. You know, so let's do the mapping, and let's identify the potential points of connection, and then let's start to try to have a conversation around that. I think that's what we have to do. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Bill. I see that there is a direct reaction from the room, and I'd still like to really stimulate people in the remote participation and from the room to comment on this. So please, could you state your name for the record and go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Niels. It's Anne Aikman-Scalise with the IPC, just speaking personally. And with respect to charter and process, I did want to mention two considerations that are sort of near and dear to my clients in particular, and that would be Article 27 of the Human Rights Declaration, Item 2, everyone has the right to the protection of the moral and material interests resulting from any scientific, literary, or artistic production of which he is the author. And the second consideration that ties into that I want to mention is rights of indigenous peoples. I think Avri even brought this up the other day with respect to indigenous peoples within North America. I represent a federally recognized Indian tribe and have recently been involved in work to memorialize through the written word and through illustrations and artwork their culture, their language. The concern there relates to, you know, the loss of these traditions and of this body of knowledge that the elders possess. And I've been working with them not only to develop those manuals that are used for education in their schools, but also to obtain copyright protection for those. And we've actually had some strange situations involving internet use where, oddly enough, a professor at a prominent university elected to post material on the internet that violates tribes' ordinances and exposes material that the tribe considers sacred. And so I would ask that as this group looks at charter, that we look at the interests of authors, human rights as well, and in particular, you know, as that may relate to indigenous peoples. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that contribution. I see there are many reactions for the room, and I know I've asked for that. I would like to go with five reactions for the from the room, and then continue with the few people we still have lined up. I hope that's okay. Okay, so I have Mikael, there, three, Walid, and then Marilia. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. Mikhail Medrish. Just a small comment. From my point of view, respect for human rights is just the same, at the end of the day, the respect to end users, because who are them? So I suppose it will be very productive to look at this, to pay it into attention and to remember that we are speaking about human rights of end users. So at large, at the same time, must work in this direction also, and help from our party, our working party, will be very useful, I suppose.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Hello. My name is Javier Rua. I'm chairman of Regulatel. Regulatel is a GAC observer. We're the Latin American Forum of Telecom Regulators. Our membership is all Latin America, and we also have three European members, Spain, Portugal, and Italy. Following up on this point, we've been working in Regulatel for the past year with Baltasar Garzón, who's Julian Assange's counsel, and with Frank LaRue, who's the former rapporteur on freedom of speech for the UN. We've been working, and we have produced a document regarding international human rights as applied in telecom and internet contexts, with the focus of course, on the end user, on the consumer, on the user of the internet. So I guess at this point, I would only like to say that we would like to definitely contribute as much as we can with this process. We can. This document is in Spanish right now. We would have to translate it or adapt it, but we will gladly proffer it and to ALAC and this and to ICANN for whatever purpose it can serve. I think definitely we must concentrate on the end user and as much as possible on human rights in the context that really, really matter to ICANN, which are, you know, definitely human rights and perhaps some other areas of international law, but basically human rights in internet and telecom context. Thank you very much.
Well, this would be an example of how we could get something from a really grassroots practice. So I'll be definitely happy to see if we could try to translate that document and see how a practice that's already used in the community could then be implemented and inform policymaking higher up. So that sounds very interesting, Javier. So let's please continue that discussion on the mailing list and post it there. That would be greatly appreciated.
My name is Hamza bin Mahrez. I'm a first-time fellow here. And I'm coming from a country which is undergoing a deep constitutional and structural change. And I know that the Article 19 in Tunisia is developing now a coalition with different local NGOs, the private sector, and the government. And this coalition is called Alliance Article 32 to check and balance the rights of citizens to access information in Tunisia. So this is a very good model of the decentralization of the work of ICANN and the local context of Tunisia. But what I want to ask is that how ICANN can really still decentralize its role to the regional context now of our countries and really try to implement those international human rights standards that suits the agenda of Article 19 and other multi-stakeholders group at the local level. Because it seems that here we always go to what the institutions need, like what ICANN need in terms of policies, and we don't really go to touch the grassroots level and what the people need at the local level. So how we can basically decentralize the role of ICANN at the local level.
I'll take this question to be answered by the group. I think several people could go into this. I think Walid could perhaps or has also experience in how to do that. So we'll take that question and try to answer it in the continuing conversation, if that's okay. And now the next in the stack is the gentleman there. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you. My name is Jorge Carcavallo from Reunamos, Knowledge Disability Technology. I'm very happy listening in this meeting. I was waiting for 15 years this moment. And I think two things. First of all, being a 21st century citizen is no issue to think if I will be or not. And human rights is the base of the 21st century, and it's not a 21st century issue. It starts in the last part of the 20th century. But in the first convention of human rights in the 21st century was the last convention. It was the last people in humanity, the people with disability. The next, to give you an idea, the next year will be the 10th anniversary of the convention, no? Most of the human beings with disability don't know they exist a convention. They say, well, but I need something, but it's in the convention. You don't need to say, please. You need to say, do it. And the relatives don't know it, but the terrible thing, the people without disability don't know that exists. So how you can ask for people to do accessibility if they don't know they must do accessibility or to employ people with disability and stuff like that. So if we are talking ICT worldwide community, I think so. ICANN is one of the leaders of the ICT community. And information about human rights is a ICT issue. I suggest two things. The first, the reason because I'm here. I come here to make a call to ICANN, and yesterday we were talking with ISOC, to lead a worldwide task force of the community, worldwide community of ICT, to develop specific tools in the next 10 years. From today, not tomorrow, the next year, from today, the most necessary tools the communities need. And I suggest to start for the people with disability because it's the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of the social pyramid. Thank you very much. I'm sorry for my English and my intervention. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your intervention there.
Yes, Walid Al-Saka for the record. When we met Fadi earlier in Washington, D.C. this year at the NCPH meeting, one particular assumption that had been in my mind was that ICANN never deals with content actually was invalidated. And the reason was is because ICANN had helped law enforcement track down pedophile content on the web. So that actually breaks one of the assumptions that we had in mind that ICANN will never deal with content. It does. And so, if this issue is of importance, why isn't issues of activists being harassed through the who has information not addressed? Why isn't the issues of blocking access to vast parts of the world not addressed through domain name filtering, which is through the ISPs, non-contracted parties that are affiliated somehow to ICANN, and also without any intervention from the contracted parties, which are the registries? Because vast parts of the world actually need, as the end user, needs to access a domain name, as in the default case, scenario that should have been is that the user would actually arrive to the content. Yet, through intervention from the ISP level, that never happens. Yet, end users are to be protected somehow. Their rights to access the domains, the content, because it's still a name, not merely a particular label. You have the domain so as you can know that you arrive to the content. I, for the last three years, have been raising this, and every single time I get the same answers, that we never deal with content. You should just go to ISOC. Yes, I am now hopefully a board member of ISOC, but then that is not enough. We need to actually collaborate. One party cannot solve all the problems of the web or the domain name industry. So now that ICANN has broken the assumption, or let's say invalidated the assumption, where should it draw the line? And I would like to pick our brains into this. And I know it's going to be a very, very tough process to have to cover everything in human rights. But how is it that ICANN can proceed from this point onward in addressing what could and could not be done in that case? Thank you.
Thank you, Walid. I saw that Patrick wanted to respond directly to this, so I want to give him give them the chance before going to Marilia.
Yes, this is a direct response to explain what is currently happening in ICANN. The last couple of years, law enforcement have been sort of circulating around inside the ICANN process and have not really understood where they are. They have not found a home. They have been working with us in ESSAC for quite a number of meetings where we have, probably up to 10 meetings where we have had meetings together to try to identify the difference between the cases where you actually do have law enforcement or other kind of public safety organizations acting based on rules that are implemented in local jurisdiction and other kind of effects there or other kind of actions that might be, for example, be interesting for private sector entities. What has happened at this meeting is that we now do have a private safety working group as part of GAC, where governmental entities, both everything from law enforcement to consumer rights organizations, do have a home where there are discussing these kind of issues. So I think what you do see in ICANN is that you do now see a discussion that is formalized regarding actions against illegal activities. So that is where the line is drawn, and that is what we are now working on and moving forward on.
Thank you very much, Patrick. And I'll go to a response from Marilia.
Thank you, News. This is Marilia Maciel speaking. Actually, it's not a response, it's just a point for thought. In my mind, when we are working in these issues, we are working basically in three main areas, and in my mind, they need to evolve in parallel. The first of them is understanding of where we are, and I think that Bill and Michele raised the point of mapping, which is really important. The second is preventing problems in future policies, and how do we do to prevent that? Because I think it's mainly what we are here to do. And the third is to remedy the problems that we already have that continue to exist and that Michele and others raise in so many meetings that we organize. So I think that we need to find ways to tackle the three of them. The first, I think, is the mapping, but maybe we need to find a way to develop a report like this, because to me it requires talking to many of you in the community and maybe working with interviews and collecting this information in the field. This requires field work, and as though you have put together some very interesting reports, I think that maybe we need a more robust support to develop this kind of mapping of the organization, and I'm looking at Lee for a reason. I don't want to put you in the spot, but maybe the Council of Europe could play a role in commissioning something like this. The second is preventing future problems, and I can speak looking from where I am at the GNSO. One thing that we have been thinking about is that when we do the issue scoping report, we need to do an impact assessment. Maybe this could be a rights impact assessment. This is a way out. But I don't know how this could play in different constituencies and SOs and ACs, and maybe you could comment on that. And the remedy. To me, remedy is still an open point. How do you see that we can remedy the current problems that we have? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marilia. I see that there is a direct reaction from Matt and from Michele. And Afri, if you don't mind, I'll go with Matt and then continue our small list to ensure that we have people who have not spoken yet to have a diverse plot as possible. Okay, so we'll have Matt, Stephanie, and then we'll finish our... And then we'll have Matt, Stephanie, and David Cake, and then we'll continue our list, because I definitely want to give ample space to Rafik and Desiree to also give their views about these. Please go ahead, Matt.
Thanks, Niels. Matthew Shears for the record. I just want to kind of do a little bit of a reality check here, in a sense. And I agree, I think that the mapping exercise is essential. When you look at the UN Global Compact, when you look at the GNI principles, when you look at the RUGI principles, all those sets of principles are largely oriented towards manufacturing, extractive industries, and other things. So we already have a task which is important in front of us, which is to identify what elements and components of those principles we can bring together to form the basis of the principles that ICANN would be looking at. So it's not a clear-cut move one set of principles into ICANN. Okay, so we have to deal with that first off. The second thing is that I think we really do need to focus at a corporate level as well. So corporate social responsibility gives us a wonderful way of working in key issues like privacy, like human rights. So there are reports out there that show how corporations have implemented corporate social responsibility programs that cover some of the key issues we're concerned about, and importantly, it covers issues like governance, which, of course, is a key topic right now. So I think at that level, we should really look carefully at the principles, look at corporate social responsibility as an entree, because we should be best practice in the corporate social responsibility space. And look at also then, as others have said, at human rights impact assessment at a very practical level in the PDP process. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that very concrete steps, Matt. Very useful. Stephanie.
Thanks very much. For the record, Stephanie Perrin from the NCUC and the GNSO Council. I think there's quite a few activities going on at ICANN that could benefit right now from that mapping exercise to find out how we get a really concrete tool inserted into the policy and implementation process that addresses the particular human rights that are at play here. And definitely there is the trademark issue. Definitely there is the privacy issue. Definitely there is the freedom of speech issue, freedom of association, as it pertains to the domain name regulatory function, and I use that term advisedly, that ICANN plays. So we have a number of committees starting up. We have practices looking at consumer protection. We need something that we can bring to all of those processes. And so I really think it'd be useful to start working on that policy impact tool that Marilia just discussed. It's a non-trivial matter to come up with a working tool that you can use in all the working groups. As Michele said earlier, we've already got ongoing working groups where such a tool would be very handy as we look at our recommendations and run it through and say, okay, what is the impact on this? But I would also like to echo that we have to stick to the remit of ICANN. We, as wonderful as all of the panoply of human rights are, the Council of Europe report, first report that they did, focused on what was going on at ICANN, and I think we should really look at that. That's half our mapping done right there. Let's make sure we make use of those reports. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. Dave?
I just wanted to comment on when
Could
Patrick,
you please state your name?
He's David Cake. Patrick talked about that ICANN is gradually starting to include in its process considerations of dealing with illegal activity and so on. And while that's sort of a legitimate, and we certainly, law, conditions of law enforcement, it's important to understand that, of course, human rights can often be in conflict with national law, and as an international organisation, ICANN, this is why ICANN does need to have those, as we continue, start to deal with law enforcement, this is why we absolutely need to have human rights considerations baked in, and we need to not simply leave it to our government representatives. There are a number of countries that do things, quite blatantly in violation of human rights law, among which I reluctantly include my own.
Thank you, David. Now I'd like to go over to Rafik Damak of the NCSG.
Okay, thanks, Niels. So, Rafik speaking. Just maybe to clarify about the process that we are going through, is that knowing the workload we have because the INS stewardship transition and ICANN accountability track, we thought that having working parties sitting will help us at least to start the work, to do more research, to raise awareness about what this topic and having this kind of session. And so maybe in near future we can move to more formalized structure, having cross-community working group, for example, and so to have more official participation from all parts of the community. And this session is really helpful because we are getting a lot of questions and concerns, and also kind of brainstorming in terms of concrete action, hearing about the mapping, hearing about other area that we need to cover. And this means more work to be done by the working party in terms of to do more research, maybe to show another report and so on, and to give that kind of work. So I'm not going to talk more, but I think it's still an ongoing process. We welcome everyone to join the mailing list, to participate, and so we can help in framing more and more this discussion and to understand what we want to reach. And that's why it's responding to Greg's question about how we can formalize the process and so on. Okay.
Thank you very much, Rafik. Desiree, you as being almost omnipresent in different parts of the community, very curious to hear your views on the report and where you think and how, where and how human rights policies and assessment could be best situated and implemented.
Thank you, Neil, and thank you for inviting me to this panel. I won't be able to report from the omnipresent view, but I'll give my thoughts as a long-time participant within ICANN, and also this topic of social corporate responsibility and human rights is very close to my heart, since together with Bill Drake, we used to sit on this workforce organization that is specifically focusing on some issues called computer professionals with social responsibility, where we dealt with issues of internet filtering, digital signatures, privacy, freedom of speech. So their organization, like yours, Niels, Article 19, that focus on human rights. But I would have to really say that even today, if you are to ask anyone whether a human rights agenda sits within ICANN, any newcomer would say, no, ICANN deals with domain names. And I think it is good that we have overcome this hurdle. And we are now accepting, especially with everything that has happened in the world with regards to threat and abuse of privacy and a loss of trust in digital age, we're seeing that issues of human rights and digital privacy and are here to stay, and we have to be socially responsible to take any precautions and think of policies how to advance the assertion of individual rights, but also to monitor the ethical and business code and practice of organizations such as ICANN. So the real question is, how do we do it? And it's not really anymore if we are to do it, but where to do it, where to start, and how to gain acceptance. And I think it's also very, we would be oblivious if we weren't recognizing that the very first formation of the working group on who is within ICANN has not dealt with all these issues of privacy. And organizations that are focusing on that are welcome to participate in the work of ICANN to give their voice to it. But how do we, where do we go from here, and how do we move forward? We have to recognize that our linkages of privacy and technology. We have to recognize that although ICANN has a very narrow mandate, and we say it's not content, it's technology, these issues of ownership of data and IPR can restrict technology, and vice versa. Technology is there to provide tools for privacy enhancement, and I think that's what we're doing. So how do we really get ICANN to be assessed as an ethical and social social responsible organization? It's also, and where to start? I think we had many conversations here with people in the audience. Is it good to start with the GAC? Because states are the ones that are supposed to sign up to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And what the history has taught us that the states are actually abusing technology and not protecting and not respecting Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So we have seen proliferation of other internet rights, and what we are trying to do is set up policies at the right intersection within the ICANN process to actually build some useful privacy or freedom of speech and freedom of association tools to assert those rights. So I see it on two levels. One is the corporate social responsibility level, and the other one is the end user level or the end internet user level. And I think we have to carry that in mind, that there's this twofold approach. And then there is the stakeholders that actually come to ICANN and different constituencies, and that will help draw this map that Bill mentioned. And it's a good starting point. I think I will stop here, because it's better to hear more from the audience if they have some ideas how we would better define ICANN public interest in terms of protecting social and corporate responsibility.
Thank you very much for that contribution, Des. And what we're seeing here is that over the time when we're having this discussion, it's becoming more concrete and more apparent, and we're having this discussion with a broader part of the community, so that's excellent. I'm very conscious of the time, so we're having 5 more minutes, and we also have the summary of the discussion from Marilia. So I would like to give the floor to some people who haven't spoken yet, and I know that Jean-Jacques Soubrenat is in line, and I'd like to hear him, and then I'd like to see some hands from other people that I'd like to speak as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Niels. This is Jean-Jacques Subrenard speaking in a private capacity. I'd like to address a later stage. I think that what Marilia and others have pointed out at mapping is extremely important, and that's where we should start. But looking at the next steps, enforcement. Olivier remarked early on that, of course, tampering with bylaws, it's much too early now to think about that. But I'd like to take the analogy of international law and some international treaties, for instance, the law of the sea or the strategic arms limitation talks. And long experience teaches us that actually the efficiency of such deals or laws is directly bound to the existence and the enforceability or not of sanctions. So I wouldn't take that analogy too far for the internet and for ICANN, but still, that gives an idea of the framework in which I'm reasoning. I think that there will come a time, although it's too early now, when you will have to put the question to yourselves, who within the ICANN community or within ICANN itself, within its constituencies, has the ability to seize the board or to draw the attention of the board, because ultimately problems of this nature will have to be dealt with by the board, not by anyone else, certainly not by staff. So I think that there are several formulae. One, which is practiced in several North European countries, is the existence of a sort of ombudsman specialized in legal affairs and human rights. But there are the formulas. So my concrete proposal would be that your working party or working group perhaps turn once again to those who initiated all this with an excellent report, that is the Council of Europe, to look at this later part of assessment and enforcement, and to see what, in their opinion, in conjunction with you and your requirements, could be looked at as possible solutions. Is it a person? Is it a structure? Is it a process? Thanks.
Thank you very much. And I see that the people who are coming in for the next meeting are already coming in. So unfortunately, because of time, I'd like to really hear many more of you, but perhaps we have also time after this meeting to talk further outside and on the mailing list.
Talk about the meeting.
I'd like to go to Marilia, but also invite you to the cross-community working party meeting. Next slide, please, Mariam, which is today at 5 o'clock, which will give us much more space to talk about concrete steps, how we're going ahead and how we're going to do that. And if you might not be able to do that, of course there is the mailing list, and I would really like to engage with you all on there. If you're very experienced, if you're a newcomer, there's a lot of things to do, as you just heard. So now over to Marilia.
Thank you very much, Niels. This is Marilia Maciel speaking. I'll try to summarize briefly what has been discussed today. The meeting started with a welcome from Rafik Damak from NCSG. Niels did a brief overview of the scope and focus of the charter of the CCWP that has just been created. Some issues that we are looking at are compliance, review impact assessment, remediation. After we had an informed by the Council of Europe with the declaration that has been recently approved on ICANN and responsibility to respect human rights, the Council of Europe also presented a brief summary of the work that has been carried out in GAC, in the Working Group of Human Rights and International Law. GAC is now trying to define the scope of the working group, and we can expect more about that in Dublin. With regards to the general observations on the goals of the work that we are developing here, I think that one point that has been stressed many times is that the organization is more and more recognizing, and the community is recognizing, that ICANN has a public service social responsibility that it needs to look into. Human rights has been a topic that has been discussed by governments by many years, but maybe we have a more multi-stakeholder way of carrying out the discussion inside ICANN and maybe apply some self-bottom-up governance to the discussion of human rights in the organization. In terms of substance, some people highlighted that it is important to identify the synergies between different topics, such as securing information related to domain registration, but also relating this with the discussion of who is privacy. The rights of authors and indigenous people has been mentioned. Freedom of expression and the policies of blocking and filtering and censoring domain names is also something that has been mentioned by the crowd. In terms of the way forward, I think that we have some very interesting points that emerge from the discussion. First of all, there has been a general positive evaluation of the work of the CWP. We should carry out the work in this format because it's a bottom-up way of discussing this topic. And secondly, people have stressed the need to separate the discussion on substance and the process and to develop a mapping of the policies and make connections with ICANN policies and the specific rights that have been touched upon. Maybe an inventory of core ICANN policies that are in interplay with rights such as freedom of expression and privacy. An impact assessment tool that we can use in different working groups has also been suggested, and an impact assessment could take
place in the PDP level. This is something that we need to look into. Experiences like the GNI have been mentioned as something that can offer good practices. Maybe we need to find out how to apply these principles and which principles exactly could be translated into the specific ICANN scenario. And we can also look into local examples that have been mentioned by some people like Javier, and we can discuss the examples, the local examples more on the list. That's it for me, Niels. Thank you.
I'm always impressed how you do that in such short times. Excellent. So thank you very much, Marilia. Thank you very much for all the speakers that were attended, and thank you all, everyone in the audience here and remotely, for caring about this topic, and we're really looking forward to continue to work with you. You can stop the recording, enjoy your day, and hope to see you at 5 o'clock.